A lot of people ask me, how did you tackle people looking at you and people judging you and, oh my gosh, she's doing something different? And it's like, you know, everyone's now watching, go, oh my God, what is this girl doing? Like, this is different. If you looked at me at the time, I did not look Muslim. I hated hijab. I hated it. SubhanAllah. It was like I had to fight some demons to put it on. That whole time I wanted this whole corporate career and you've got the, you know, the living space and the lifestyle. And like, was that it? SubhanAllah, there are some sharks in our community.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Safi Bros podcast. Alhamdulillah, we are available on all audio platforms and of course on YouTube every second Friday at 3 p.m. Inshallah, if you are listening on one of our audio platforms, please, please follow and give us a rating. And if you are watching on YouTube, please subscribe as it helps our content reach more people, allows you to get each episode as soon as it is released, and expands our reach to more international renowned speakers. Alhamdulillah, today we have an amazing sister with us who, mashallah, has got a beautiful journey to share. Mashallah, we have Nina Fashik, who is a community leader, Islamic educator, founder of the Muslim Mindset, a global initiative to aid women and youth to align to their deen and to live with ihsan, alhamdulillah. She's, alhamdulillah, up to her third tertiary degree. She's a student of knowledge in Islamic studies. She's got a degree in Islamic studies, Islamic psychology, and currently undertaking a master's in Islamic studies, alhamdulillah. So, bismillah, assalamu alaikum. Welcome, Sister Nina, to the Safi Bros podcast. Welcome, sis.
Thank you so much. I know it's been a year and a half in progress, but I'm here. SubhanAllah.
We asked you a while ago, didn't we? SubhanAllah. Yeah, and you were going through a bit then, SubhanAllah.
We did go through a bit, but you know, we're right on time because Allah's planning is always on time. As they say, right? Everything in its timing is beautiful.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So, alhamdulillah, it's Ramadan. It's a blessed time for us. So, alhamdulillah, inshallah, we get the blessings of this podcast and inshallah, we share your amazing success story.
Inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
So I think we'll start. I know you're from Sydney originally.
I'm a Sydney girl.
Sydney girl. Yes. Whereabouts were you born? And
Auburn,
okay.
Yeah, went to Auburn Girls. Auburn Girls. And yeah, SubhanAllah.
Mum and Dad came from Lebanon?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so they came, inshallah. They were married there?
They were married there. They came here, opportunity to work with the intention, obviously, to go back one day. And SubhanAllah, nine kids later, they stayed put. SubhanAllah, Allah's plan.
Yeah. How many boys? How many girls?
Three boys, six girls, and I'm the youngest.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yes.
Spoilt one.
Apparently, yes.
Spoilt one. Always the last one. Yeah, spoiled, no, right? They get the easiest.
And I get spoiled. I think the parents just like, that didn't work. All that beating, yelling.
All the beating and yelling
didn't work. So the last one gets away with murder.
Absolutely. Got away with murder. You can say that.
SubhanAllah.
You can say that.
SubhanAllah.
Yes. May Allah have mercy on our parents.
SubhanAllah. You had quite a rebellious youth. Rebellious youth.
I went through some rebellion, yes I did. And I got into some trouble, yes I did. Alhamdulillah.
When did it start?
Well, you know, growing up, my mum was always trying to nurture Islam in me. So I was praying and that, and then, you know, got to high school and then it was just like I was the girl that always wanted to have a laugh. And even though I was really switched on, like I was doing well, like academically, but I was always being pulled in directions. It was just like, where's the fun at, right?
Mm.
And so, you know, alhamdulillah, you make friends and you don't know at that age, but friends can help shape you. Friends can mold you.
Amen.
Friends can pull you in all types of directions. So I, going through your teens, it's hard with your hormones and you don't know what's going on. You don't know why you're sad. You don't know what you're chasing, what you're doing. You don't know how to deal with people and regulate your own emotions and deal with relationships and all that stuff. So I kind of went, not going to deal with any of that. Let me just go and try to have fun, right?
Do you recall that sort of that moment, how old you were when that happened?
It was probably about, I remember starting to feel quite sad with my emotions at 13, 14.
Love.
And then 15, I just started to be like, let's go. Where are we going, girls? Like, you know, we started to truant and do all those fun things that you do. Went to an all-girls school, right? And so from there, I think my parents started to notice a few changes, you know what I mean? And so then one day my parents just get that call and I'm going to share something here. So it's like, you know, Nina's been arrested.
Oh, no.
I laugh at it now. Wow. Only now can I laugh at it. But at the time, I tell you, I thought this was the end of me. Subhanallah, right? Yeah. We just look, it's a pretty big deal. My parents are like, my poor parents are like, oh, you know, we thought we were safe. You know, we got to number nine. We're like, she's a good kid, you know. But, you know, I believe it was all a matter of bad timing.
Hannah,
you know, my friends, we were at Parramatta Westfields and we were truanting. And they got into a fight and all I seen was this bigger girl push my friend's little sister up against a wall. And I've grown up in a family where it was just like, if you see anything like that, no, you stand up, you go do something, right?
Mm.
We weren't allowed to be the wuss. You're not allowed to be, you know how it is. You grow up as a lamb, you're like, no, it's not acceptable that you don't kind of stand up for your friend and whatnot. So we just all went in, it was like all brawl, right?
Wow.
Dropped my bag. My bag had my, I was 16 at the time, so I just had my L's, so I had my license. Dropped my bag and we just got out, we just ran. We get to the station and I'm like, where's my bag?
Oh, wow.
Like, oh, my God, I got to go back for my bag. So I went back for my bag and I had seen some other friends. So the other ones that I was with, they had taken off. But I seen some other friends that were from my school and, you know, we went to look for my bag and stuff and then it's like got caught up by security and then it was all, we all went downhill from there. It was like, subhanAllah, I remember sitting at the police station going, my dad's going to send me to Lebanon. He's going to kill me. He's going to marry me up. I'm like, that's it. Like, you had dreams.
That's the solution.
Your dreams are gone, right? And subhanAllah, yeah, that I think that was one of the worst times, like looking back.
Allah.
That was one of the worst times. Yeah, 16. I was just 16. Oh, I just got my L's, yeah. SubhanAllah. And so from then on, it was just like I didn't just get told off by two parents. I'm the youngest of nine.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So I had two parents and eight siblings.
Wow.
And each one was worse than the other, subhanAllah. But I had to go through that because I had to see where friends could take you, right?
Mm.
And those friends that stick by you and those friends that don't. I remember going back to school. It was 3 days after, right? So there was all of this gossip at school and everyone's like, oh, my God, I heard.
The only one that got arrested out of all the group?
No, they did, but the next day.
Ah.
They actually were taken from school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the cops ended up coming to school.
Oh, wow.
But I was the only one that was taken that day.
Subhanallah.
But you know what?
Being pulled out
it
of the
really,
school.
Really was a ni'mah, but like I look back and I'm like, things could have been so much worse. And I love how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always, because like, I feel like I'm the girl that never got away with anything. It was always big consequences, right?
Mm.
You know, something would always go really wrong. And I look back now, I'm like, this is protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That you don't continue going on down a particular track. But I remember getting to school and all the girls are like, are you okay? We heard that, you know, your dad bashed you in front of the police station. I was like, no, alhamdulillah, like no, my parents weren't. They weren't that type with me. I mean, got to number nine, right? But subhanAllah, it was a game changer for me. I then realized, you know, changed my friend's circle. The school leadership were really keeping a close eye on me. They were like, you know, we had plans for you. We were up for school captain. And then when it came to the time, they were like, no, we're not going to let you go for it. And it was what it was. Alhamdulillah.
So just take us back. Sorry. So what was the outcome of that? What happened, like, from the police
The outcome. So the outcome was that, look, they realized that because what had happened was one of the girls took a phone. I didn't take no phone. I was involved in a fight, right?
Okay.
And so then they took me and assumed I had a phone. I didn't have no phone. And I had no idea about this phone, right? So the outcome for me was I got, I think it was like 15 hours of community service. So I literally went to the local youth center and I was helping them out with their admin and stuff like that.
Mm.
But yeah, basically it was that, you know, naughty girl, you know, choose your friends wisely and try not to get into fights.
Wow.
Subhanallah. Did you change your friendships after that at all?
I did. I really pulled back from them. I pulled back from them a lot.
Subhanallah.
But then, you know, you then gravitate to also, you know, another fun group of girls.
Mm.
Alhamdulillah. Look, you know, I look back at my youth and I love it looking back. I had a lot of fun, but at the same time, I learned a lot of lessons.
Mm.
And I have these friendships that go into your adulthood and some of them can be really toxic, right?
Yeah.
It's really toxic. It's like they hold you back. You don't realize it at the time.
Yeah.
You know, like I had one best friend. She almost felt like a boyfriend. I couldn't even, you know, speak to another friend or have another relationship.
Wow.
And it was such a big
deal. The smothering
deal.
Friend.
And she was, subhanAllah. But that all changed. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, literally, he shifted, the way he shifted my heart, you know, when I had gone to Melbourne for work, I spent a year away from home.
Wow.
And he, just before I came back, the way he shifted my heart, subhanAllah, I didn't know that was preparing me for guidance. I had no idea. It was always like, you know, clearing that path, right?
SubhanAllah.
So you finished year 12?
So I finished year 12.
You go to uni?
Just as I was finishing year 12, doing my HSC. My dad was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Allah.
Yes. So they said he had nine months. They gave him 9 months.
Okay.
Yeah. What ended up happening was I just went, nah, not doing this. Chucked it all in. I didn't care to do, you know, perform well in my exams. And then subhanAllah, I ended up getting into uni through Pathway.
So before you go there,
your dad
passed away.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
No, not yet.
No, not passed away, sorry.
Mm.
So that your dad was diagnosed with cancer.
Mm.
So subhanAllah, how did that make you feel? How did that change you as a human being when you found that out?
I think it just felt like, you know, your world shatters completely because I'm not an adult yet.
Mm.
I'm, you know, barely 17. And I'm still looking at my dad like the security of my life, right? Your dad is your security. Your mum's your nurturer.
Mm.
But your dad's like, you know. And subhanAllah, so yeah, I remember feeling very scared because we hadn't really had any deaths in the family. Like I didn't know what that looked like.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't just that. It was now I come out into this big bad world and I'm like, okay, coming out and going to uni or having to go to uni and navigate that life in itself is really difficult, right? It's really difficult, subhanAllah. And then I had to also juggle that sadness of my dad. So coming and going and seeing how, you know, he's getting sick, he's getting the treatments, you know, and it was just like, yeah, it was a really difficult time. But subhanAllah, I remember sucking it up and I remember like, I didn't want to do uni. I didn't want to do anything. I was just like trying to just numb my emotions at that time.
Yeah.
But I did it for my father's sake because my dad was always like, you know, education, you know, they come from Lebanon, they come from poverty.
Yeah.
And it's a big deal,
yeah,
right?
Huge.
And absolutely, it is a big deal. And I think he also saying that it's like you've got the potential, you go for it, right? So I sucked it up and I went. And I remember I completed the semester. Second semester, he passed away.
Allah.
And it, like, subhanAllah, it was like 9 months down the track, right?
So you're 18 now?
Yeah. But it felt like 2 weeks. It felt like 2 weeks of us knowing and him passing away. Like, that's how quickly it all went.
Allah.
Yeah, Al-Irhamu.
Al-Irhamu.
Yeah, so I think that was like a real, that was a massive moment in my life.
In the whole family,
absolutely. It really did change the dynamics of the family as well.
So your brothers are older than obviously.
Yes,
you're 18, so they're.
Yes, they were older. So, my brothers at the time, they kind of, you know, took the rails
would have shaped them too.
Yeah, absolutely. So from there, I remember going, not gonna drop uni because I was just like. I now think I need to work. Who's going to support me?
Was it the fact that you did it for your dad's sake, that you're at uni, that you wanted to drop it now? Because we've had so many subhanAllah brothers and sisters say like a passing has happened and suddenly I was doing it for my dad. My intention is to finish uni. I didn't really want to do it.
I always wanted to go to uni.
SubhanAllah.
I did. But I think uni coupled with sadness is not a good mix. Because you really can go down a bad road at uni as well, yeah?
Pressure.
And so I just wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling it. And I remember being at the time, you know, my mum's now a widow and she's scared herself going, how am I going to do this?
Wow.
And so she says to me, I need you to start working. So I'm like, okay, I've got to do that now. It's like, oh, wow. When I look at my other siblings, like, you know, they went through uni, didn't have to get a job, you know, and things were just, they were taken care of. But it wasn't the case for me. So then I was like, okay, got to do this. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to defer uni. I didn't say I was going to like completely quit. No, I said, I'm going to defer it. I went, I got a job. I landed a job with NCR in their call center. So I stayed there for a few months and got really bored. And so I jumped to the next job, went to the next job. I ended up working for several different companies. So like I worked for ADT Security. When I was at ADT, I was probably there for a few years, but I was jumping from monitoring to customer service to sales to lead generation, all of these different areas, right? And at the time I was thinking, I'm just bored, next opportunity. But people were giving me these opportunities. So they were obviously seeing something in me, right? And subhanAllah, when I look back at it now, I say, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching me a skill set.
Yeah, filling your bucket, right? Yeah.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
Grooming you, yeah, we say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grooms us.
SubhanAllah. And so that's what I did. I ended up jumping from job to job, working for some reputable companies.
What's the longest time you've ever held a job?
Probably about, I think, 3-4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's this not
yeah,
one
you,
job.
Yeah, you, that's you, not you, one you job. Were jumping that's into jumping. The company, different
jumping.
Elements.
Yeah, that's jumping. Yeah.
SubhanAllah, so you've always wanted more. Like
Wanted more. So I was very driven. At this stage, I was very driven. I was just like, no, I want to build something for myself. I want to make something out of myself.
Why?
You know, when I was in high school, I grew up always wanting to be some kind of corporate businesswoman. Don't ask me why. I have no idea. I actually don't know why. And I don't know where I got that inspiration from. But in my head, I was just like, this was success for me. If I could go down that road, you know, I will be successful.
And how did you know picking up as much skill sets as possible would lead you down that path?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No. I was just going based on, what do I want to do next?
Okay.
And the other thing is that people were giving me opportunities. It wasn't like I was really going and seeking as well. SubhanAllah. No. This is why I say this is all a divine plan.
Yes.
It was not Nina's plan. I was going with the flow. I was trying to survive still, really, because I'm still really young at this stage, right? So I landed a job with GE Money. First,
my sister works for GE.
Does she? SubhanAllah.
Yeah, she's still in Dubai. She works
Mashallah.
There.
So
good perks, she says.
Anyway. Yeah, mashallah. So at the time, it was the first week of working at GE, and they were doing a roadshow. So they did the whole, you know, go credit cards at the time and stuff. So I sat down in this corporate roadshow, and in walks this lady. She was a trainer. Her name was Sharon Burke. And I looked at her. She was like red jacket, blonde hair, red jacket, red lipstick. She's got the heels. She walks in, and I'm like, wow. I was like, this is that corporate lady that I'm like, you know, I've been thinking about, SubhanAllah. She finished this roadshow and I'm in awe of this woman going, what a power woman, right? So SubhanAllah, I end up going, I step into a role that's essentially an accounts management relationship building type of role. But the whole idea is that these are the ones that are the lowest of the accounts and I have to grow and scale. That was my whole job, right? So I had to form strategies around doing that and whatnot. And so SubhanAllah, I did this for a whole year. And then...
This was in Melbourne?
This was in Sydney.
In Sydney.
They're still in Sydney.
Sydney. So then another roadshow occurs, right? This time it's not Sharon, it's another lady. She's come from the UK.
What does a roadshow mean?
A roadshow. So yeah, they literally go from state to state and they do training for the sales teams. So now they've come to us and... SubhanAllah, after the first session, the lead, she comes and she pulls me aside. She was like, I've heard some great things about you. She said, why don't you come and work for me in Melbourne in head office and I'll give you the communication and training lead position in the project.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow, like that would be amazing. And I'm thinking, Melbourne, hell no, get it out of here. Parents aren't letting you go. Like mom's not going to let you go. Your brothers aren't certainly not going to let you go. And so I said, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'd absolutely love to do it. I said, but look, come from a Lebanese household. Pull this to the side. I was like, come from a Lebanese household. It's like, you know, we don't really have that much freedom, right? And so SubhanAllah, she was like, please. She goes, just try. go have the conversation. And I'm like, you know what, come back home, have a conversation with my sister. My sister was all like, it's all about planting seeds. So she's like, you know, first off, you just plant a seed. Just say, hey, look, you know, I've been given this opportunity, and you walk away. You come back and you plant another seed and you say, hey, you know, these are some perks, and you walk away and you let it simmer, right? Mm. You just let it simmer. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to take her up on this strategy. Yalla. I went, spoke to my mum, spoke to my brothers. My mum initially was like, no. My brothers were like, oh. And then my brother comes back and he was like, you know what, Nina, you've been working really hard. Go for it. I'll pop in every now and again to Melbourne because he comes for work. I'll pop in every now and again. My other brother got on board. My mum got on board, and I was just like, this is happening. Like, I'm 20 years old. Wow. And I've gotten this mad opportunity. And so I went to Melbourne, stayed with the Rellos for about 2 weeks, and then I got this really beautiful apartment. It was a shared accommodation in Docklands. It was a South Bank, sorry. So it was literally like looking over the Yarra. I can see the beach. I can see the Crown Casino, all of the city lights at night, you know, the floor-to-ceiling windows. And I'm like, for me, I'm like, wow, like this is what this is what I wanted. Yeah, absolutely. This is what I wanted. And I love the Melbourne city. It was so cosmopolitan. Yeah. It was just gorgeous. And so I came here for the year, worked really hard. I was like, I'm here for work and this is what I'm doing, right? So Monday to Friday, it was literally work, gym, work, gym. This is what I was doing.
That's it.
Yeah. Weekends, I would go out with some friends. I would go and explore the city, or, you know, my sisters would come down and would have an awesome weekend, right? Wow. So I did that for about a year. Maybe going to a year and a half, and my brother's like getting on the phone going, Nina, you got to get back home. Like, you know, this is enough type of a thing. Like, make it happen, right?
A year and a half.
So the project's not over yet. So now they're having to get rid of people. They put me, they say Nina's able to facilitate the remainder of the project, right? And so I do that. But I come back to Parramatta now. I'm in Parramatta office. And so while I'm there, there's two things I actually want to share here. One is actually subhanAllah, it's a reason why I actually stopped having any kind of guy friends, because I had guy friends at the time. We worked together and stuff like that. You know, Islamically, we're obviously not meant to, right? But you're working in that corporate environment.
Yeah.
You make friends. I had a friend that was a business analyst. And I had another friend, he was the leader of, I think it was the Perth sales team. And we would, whenever we see each other, we would just laugh, right? It was just a great laugh. They'd call me sometimes, we'd do like three-way conversation, and we'd like pick on people, and we'd just do silly, silly things, right? I'm going to come back to that story. So I'm in the office. I get an email from a family friend, a long-lost family friend, sees my email in an email trail, and he says to me, are you Nina Fashik from this family? These are your brothers, X, Y, and Z. And I said, yeah. And he was like, oh, my God, remember me? La, 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 la. I have an Islamic bookstore that I've just opened in Lakemba. Why don't you come by and you can just take your pick of what you want? And I was just like, huh.
Wow.
Random. But wow. It's not random, right?
Random.
SubhanAllah. So I said, okay. So I went to the bookstore and I said, give me a book on the prophets. The Prophets by Ibn Kathir. That's the book I took home.
It's the same one I've read.
It's incredible. Allahu Akbar. It's incredible. And I went on a love journey from there. That sold me. I was like, SubhanAllah, this is it. This is what I've been missing. I've come back from Melbourne with this feeling going, was that it? Was that it? That whole time I wanted this whole corporate career, and you've got the, you know, the living space and the lifestyle. And it's like, was that it? And then I had that book, and any chance I had, I was reading it. I was reading it on the train. I didn't know how I got home, finished everything, got into bed with my book. That's how I was with that book, SubhanAllah.
So this brother is getting all this hasanat.
He's getting, and I don't even think he knows.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, because we just completely lost touch, and I don't even think he knows. Wallahi.
SubhanAllah.
It's amazing, one seed of kindness, what it changes the whole. SubhanAllah, we get that a lot on the podcast. Mm. SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
Where just one little thing, it's that Allah little thing Akbar. That you just, it just, yeah. It just starts the whole fire.
It does. SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar, man. SubhanAllah. Yeah. So he, So after having that book, after reading that book, I was like, I made a decision. I was like, no, this is it. Like, you know, this is my path. And I started praying. And when I started praying, I started to have these nightmares. I didn't know that once you step onto the path, it's like you're fair game, right? Yeah. SubhanAllah, Allah protect us.
Amen.
Just having all these really, really bad nightmares. And then I remember at the time, like, it was so bad, I actually went back and slept in my mum's bed. Like, I was actually sleeping in my mum's. That's how terrified I was. Like, even getting up for Fajr, it was just like I just have to make her kind of come with me. And I was just like, wow, like, it was, SubhanAllah, I had that much fear. And then not long after that,
Can I ask, how did you deal with that? How did you deal with that? Because I went through the same path. Like, you know, back in my silly days, you know, I've never had, like, any situation being questioned or – but when I came to pray, what's the game? What are you doing? Who are you praying to? What are you putting your head to? These things that, like you're saying, these things that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
What would you advise some of these young youth as a female to counter? Obviously, you were staying at your mum's, so that's obviously reached to a stage where, you know, you needed some support. But
absolutely.
Just to touch on that, because it's very important. A lot of kids go into this and then they think they might go the opposite way, saying this is wrong.
Absolutely. So for me, like, what I know now, I wish I knew then, to do your daily adhkar, your morning and evening adhkar, SubhanAllah. It's like you really keep them away. And you notice yourself, like, for the nights that I fall asleep and I'm exhausted, I'm that exhausted mom where, like, my head touches the pillow and I'm out and I forget to read, those nights I'll see the ajayib, like, I'll see horrid dreams. You think, SubhanAllah, we have enemies that are always there, never sleep, and they're just waiting, SubhanAllah. I remember at that time, I seen that Rasul in my dream. So I remember my car had broken down in the dream, right? And then there comes this other car, pulls up, and there's someone sitting in the back, but this thing is evil. It's evil. And it was kind of almost sitting up to kind of address me. And then Rasulullah, he comes and he almost stands in front of me and he does this, right? So he's like, he's putting his arm across as almost to say she's protected type of thing. And then SubhanAllah, I remember, like, I woke up, I was just like, oh my God, like, that was intense. And I didn't know that, like, you know, when the Prophet comes to you in a dream, it's him. Yeah, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? So SubhanAllah, I think, like, I did fight it in that particular way. Like, I knew I was onto something.
Wow.
But I believe the belief then, because SubhanAllah, when you look at, you know, the pillars of Iman, and you know, once you really look into these, how much your Iman actually grows. I had very high Iman. I just didn't know how to counteract all the other stuff. Yeah. And it was like, if you looked at me at the time, I did not look Muslim. And it was very hard for me to step out of that. I'll give you an example. I remember once being at work, it was a GE, came downstairs and I seen a girl that I went to high school with and she was working in a call center there. And first time I see her, she's put a hijab on. And I was like, oh, you put the hijab on. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, why did you do that? I'm like, oh no, type of thing. Like, you're so young. Like, what are you doing type of thing, right? I hated hijab. I hated it, SubhanAllah. And so it was like I had to fight some demons to put it on. Wallahi, I had to fight some demons, you know. And even till now, like, you struggle with it. Like, it's, and I kind of, I like the fact that I didn't never really like the hijab because it meant when I put it on, it was ikhlas. I was like, dude, like, no one's making me put this on but Allah, you know. SubhanAllah. So, it was quite interesting.
I want to touch base on that story. That SubhanAllah, it's so important. I was with my Arabic teacher, a Syrian teacher, and we were talking about exactly this. And mashallah, this brother is like very pious in my eyes. And is the only worst thing he's ever, because we were talking about what's the worst thing you've ever done in your life.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm in Syria, you know, there's the cinemas, the women sit at the front, the men sit at the back. He goes, I threw my contact number once at a sister. I said, that's the worst thing you've ever done. So I'm bawling my eyes out now.
Okay.
Because he's told me, you know, I'm like, if that's the worst thing you've done, you know, where am I going to go?
Yeah.
And then he starts crying. I'm like, what are you crying for? Yeah. He goes, you've given up everything for Allah. I haven't been tested with it.
Oh, subhanAllah.
So that notion of, he goes, I was just going with the river. He goes, you're going against the river. So that element of you putting the hijab on, over there, it's probably some majority of the sisters put it on, don't really take any consciousness of, you know, how great it is and whatnot.
Yeah.
But you're fighting the grain.
Yeah, absolutely.
How important is that?
It is.
Oh,
yeah.
SubhanAllah.
We don't understand.
I remember I was in the second year of Sharia and still like struggling with it. And I think I was a better person then than I am now. Really. Like I was like, mashallah, everything within me was just completely aligned except for that. And, you know, I remember how kind they were though, subhanAllah. I remember Sheikh Shedi Suleiman, may Allah bless him. I remember like rocking up to Sharia class. We're just after work. You're in heels, your hair's out, you're done. You're just, you know. And subhanAllah, he was like completely kind. You know, come sister, ask the question. No, don't be shy. None of this whole, oh, you know, you're the exorcist and get away from me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
like, you know how sometimes some sisters are treated like that and they're like, no, well, you know what? I don't belong at the mosque or I'm not welcome
here.
Yeah, but he really, like, subhanAllah, he really welcomed us. And like till now, I run into him and I'm like, it all started here, subhanAllah. Like I went to his center and that's literally where I learned. I did a two-year Sharia course. I came back and I did it again because I couldn't let go of it. I loved it. And then that's when the uni degree popped up of being able to do a degree in Islamic studies.
Oh, wow. That's UMA.
I pursued that. No. The UMA is where I did the Sharia, but it was it's Charles Sturt University that does that does a degree with Isra.
So you never went back to the other uni course, the one that you deferred?
I never went back. I had an intention to though. And I remember when I was in Melbourne, I remember there was one night when my sisters had come down. One night we were sitting on the balcony and my sister's going to me, you know, you've done it, like, you know, well done. Like, you know, you kind of built something out of nothing and you fell into a job that required a degree and you don't have a degree. And she's looking around going, you know, you did all right. And for me, I remember being overwhelmed going, I still feel guilt. I feel guilt that I never got that degree for my dad.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, this is like, it's really strange, right? SubhanAllah. But alhamdulillah, I ended up going and getting the degree that was worth it. Wallah, subhanAllah, like Allah's plan, right? So I don't regret that. I don't regret that path at all. You know,
alhamdulillah. Isn't that amazing how we, subhanAllah, the intention. See, the intention always stays in our heart. You wanted to do it for your dad.
Yeah.
And then it came back.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, exactly. Allah never forgets, Ameen. Right? SubhanAllah.
Wallahi, Allah.
It's beautiful.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
That book is very powerful, but what attracted you about that book that wanted you to change your life and say, hey, I'm really not as successful or at peace as I believe I am.
Yeah.
You know, I might have reached the, they say, the pinnacle of the mountain, but really it ain't so happy up here.
Yeah. Even at that, I mean, like really in hindsight, that wasn't the pinnacle. That wasn't a mountain. but at the time it was. At the time for my age, it really was. But I remember it was that feeling of not being fulfilled versus what I was presented with. And this was the purpose of life, right? And even though I was always a believer, praying from when I was little, fasted, never missed a day in my life. You know what I mean? Alhamdulillah. Yeah. And it was just that. I think it was that realization that, oh, my God, like this is it. This is the truth. And I remember when I came back from Melbourne, I couldn't, like, you know, my sisters had occupied the other rooms. I lived on my own for 1 year, subhanAllah. My roommate, her name was Jin, and she was like a Jin, like I'd never see her, right? So I felt like I was living alone, subhanAllah.
Jin.
SubhanAllah. Her name is actually Jin.
SubhanAllah.
So I ended up, I go to my mum, you know, that back room in the back, granny flat. I'm like, I'm renovating it. And I'm like, I'm moving in there. I was like, no, I don't want the girls sleeping outside. I'm like, mum, I've been in Melbourne for 1 year. I'm like, you can handle me being in the backyard, right? So I went, did touch-ups, and I went and decked it out. I was like, this is my retreat, right? And best thing I did, because what I did was after I wrapped up the project with GE, I said, hey, I'm going to take some time off. I took some time off and I flipped my days into nights and my nights into days, and I would stay up the whole night reading. And I was just like so thirsty, like I couldn't get enough. Wallahi, I couldn't. That's exactly how I felt, that description. I felt so thirsty for knowledge. And I remember that time, like, there was a lot of there was a lot of tears, a lot of repentance. And you just look back and you're just like, you know, that's the rahmah. Mm. That's the guidance, you know. And I didn't know that at the time that was going to be so life-changing, just having that time off. But for me, what I said was, I'll take 3 months off and I'll get back into it. But Allah had a different plan. I didn't get a job for like a year, year and a half. Couldn't land one. And I'm like, what's going on? But all I was doing was going to my classes and reading, going to my classes and reading. And meanwhile, I'm struggling with this. I got to put the hijab on. I was like, I hate it. No, 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 it's all right. Still do your hair and makeup and it's okay, you know.
And so you were starting for a year and a half without hijab?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. The UMA, yeah. They were amazing. That's they big. Were incredible. That's they were, big. And you know what's really beautiful? There was probably about six of us, six girls that started at the same time. None of us were wearing hijab. Oh, none wow. of us were. We were all rocking up the way we were dressed, the way we were whatever.
SubhanAllah.
And one by one, we were putting it on. And by the end of those 2 years, we all had it on. And I'm like, what a beautiful place, really. Like, you know, and I think more places need to be like this, more embracing.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
And not make There's you feel judgment, like you're, yeah. is, you know, you need an exorcism or something, like just to get away from me.
Being
like,
yeah, you know. Yeah,
yeah. SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
Allah, it's so true.
Yeah, but the hijab journey in itself was really, really tough. I remember once I, as I got really close to putting it on, I had another dream of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
No.
And I, like, I'm telling you, this is like close to 2 years. I'm like, still not on. I've got this intention. I'm like, oh my God, it's so hard, right? And then I go through these moments and it was moments of me still listening to music. And I recognize that was so problematic for me. Music really plays with your heart and it messes your head. It messes with your head so bad.
Mm.
And it's only when I cut that off. Anyway, I was working as a advertising sales rep at the time and went to this particular area and there was this news agency. So because I was frequenting the area a lot, you know, the guy that ran the news agency was a Muslim guy and there was another cop that would come in and we'd all kind of just have a coffee together and have a chit chat or whatever. And one day I get there, I was just like, the cop's not there. I was like, that's okay. You know, we just had a chit chat. It was like, what's been happening with you? I said, you know, I've been thinking about wearing the hijab. It's like, come on, Nina. It's like, that's not you.
Oh, no.
And I got so offended. I'm like, who are you? You don't know anything about me. Like, you don't know, you know, my ins and outs and whatever. You're literally taking me on how I'm dressed or how I'm, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember that was like a catalyst. I went, gotta do it now. Like, subhanAllah. And I remember at the time, I was like, oh my God, but how am I going to go to work with a hijab?
Mm.
And, you know, you're in a sales role. So how are people going to receive you? How is management going to take me? And so I said to myself, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to do it. I remember I made my intention, Jum'ah. It was a Jum'ah prayer. I made my intention. And then subhanAllah, you guys keep looking at each other like you know this story.
Because Angie, my sister, is very similar.
Oh, yeah, really? SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah, that's beautiful. We should meet her. We're going to meet her one to each other. Yeah, so at the time, though, I had just maybe a month or two before, I had run a big charity event for a charity organization. This was for Palestine, raising money for Palestine at the time. Wow. And then subhanAllah, when I had made my intention, I put my head in sujood and made my intention. And I remember when I finished my salah, I was like, okay, that's it. It's on. Like, it's on now. I went to my phone and I've got a call from the director at that charity organization. He's leaving me a message offering me a job. And I'm like, this place is in La Kemba. This is La Kemba where you got niqabis and it's all good, right? SubhanAllah. So I was like, oh my good, like subhanAllah, get up. I said, yes, 100%, I'll take it. Like, I'll take it. I know in La Kemba I'm safe with my hijab. I can deal, right? It's the right environment. And I knew those first 100 or so days were going to be testing me. I knew that, right?
Know.
So I was taking my precautions. I was, you know, I was making my, doing my adhkar every day. And subhanAllah, I took on this job. I ended up going on Monday morning to the office with the hijab on. And it's just like everyone ignored it. It's so funny. Like, I'm really, like, looking back.
What's going on
they,
here?
Allah, it's just like, don't make eye contact. Like, you know what I mean? SubhanAllah. So,
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, that went a lot better than what I expected. I don't know why you think, you know, the light's going to be shining on you. It's like, why'd you put it on, type of thing? And then I resigned and I started to work in La Camba. And I was just like, working for the community, that's a whole other ball game. That is like, you think you're not going to get tested, Nina? I was like, welcome. Let the show begin, subhanAllah.
Lucky I started outside the community.
That's when you really started your uni degree.
Oh, mate. SubhanAllah, there are some sharks in our community. There's some sharks. It's quite scary.
It's amazing, isn't it?
But you know what?
It's amazing.
I went in with such a full heart, with all sincerity, big heart going, this is Islam and they're my brothers and my sisters and like, you know, we all love each other. And then subhanAllah, I learned some lessons, man.
It's the hardest thing, isn't it? SubhanAllah. Because
disheartening.
It is disheartening. Yeah. SubhanAllah, I was talking to Ahmed Arachi yesterday, day before yesterday, subhanAllah, and he was saying one of the hardest things, especially when you move also into the bigger guys and how you see some people's intentions are not right.
Yeah.
Allahu Akbar, Allah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not easy because, you know, when your intention is just purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are, you know, you're doing all this, you have so much passion for it and you have people that are in there.
Yeah.
They don't even see it. Subhanallah, the veils are.
It's so scary. But I believe, like, you know, if you are really working with ihsan, if your intentions are right, it will show up in your character.
Amen.
And your character is everything. It's like, really. And I think that's one thing I've really been blessed with as well, though. I've gone through my paces. I've had so much experience with people that within itself, I think, is one of the biggest tools for da'wah.
Amen.
Right?
Course,
all those different personalities. And, you know, if I had, you know, decided to go to uni, do a teaching degree, stuck in a classroom with children, I would have never experienced that. Yeah. You know, subhanAllah.
It's unbelievable. That's the emotional intelligence that a lot of brothers and sisters don't have because the interactions, you know, when you see, like, subhanAllah, like, that's one thing we notice a lot of our youth today, because they've been stuck behind a screen all their life.
Yeah.
They don't have those interactions. So they don't know somebody's upset through their facial language. They don't know somebody's happy through their facial language because they're not trained anymore.
Well, they're not reading the room.
They're not reading the room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The reading the room is like, who cares? I'm worried about myself. Like, they read the room. It's how they're reacting, the way you walk in. Mm. Your mannerisms, your body language, none of that's existent in their little lives. Okay. We noticed.
Yeah. That's so much learning for you that has catapulted you sort of to be able to do what you're doing.
Absolutely.
SubhanAllah.
All those skills, I'm telling you, Allah was preparing me for the Muslim mindset. It was absolutely like, I see that as clear as day. Clear as day, subhanAllah. Yeah, so
how long were you working in La Camba?
La Camba, I think I lasted three months. I landed a job at Cisco Systems. So I was like, I'm out of here.
Assalamu alaikum. And I'm taking my hijab.
And I took my hijab. Do you know what's so sad though? Wallahi, it's so sad. The treatment I got in corporate amongst these non-Muslims, they treated me like a queen. Wallahi, from day one. I'm wearing my hijab. With my director, I'm like, I need a place to pray. He was up and looking for me, saying, you can pray here or you can pray here. Or I would have fangirls talking about my hijab in the ladies' toilets, for instance. I wouldn't shake men's hands. And that went around and they were all very respectful of it. Like, oh, wow, like this girl's got some values and, you know, hold on, what's making her live this particular way? And so then they ask those questions, you know.
They do, yeah. Like it's the best da'wah, wallah.
It really is.
It's the best da'wah. Yeah. I work at the Department of Justice. I was in crime prevention. Mashallah. And the minister's office, subhanAllah. Yeah. And people were always asking me, why?
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing that? I have extra breaks. Who cares? It's like, no way.
Yeah,
I can't do that.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Mm. I know. Oh, it's so bad though when you get your foot in the sink and it's like, so I walk in the bathroom I need to tell you about this.
Everyone's got the foot in the sink story.
I said to my Aussie boss, I'm making wudu.
Yeah.
He looked at me, voodoo? You making voodoo in there?
Oh, no.
I was cursing the sink or something.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. You do have those funny moments,
you do,
right?
You do. I
remember once when back when I was at GE, and I wasn't obviously practicing. We had this girl. She was a good friend of mine. She was, what are they called? Jehovah's Witness.
Yes.
Right? And she was so strict on not celebrating birthdays. Wouldn't even say happy birthday to someone. I was like, oh, wow. And I remember going, respect, man. Like, respect. Like, you didn't care. You didn't give a crap. You just, this is how it is and this is how it's going to be. And I remember drawing on her strength coming into Cisco, coming into corporate. Wow. Going, if she can do it, I can do it. And I'm on the din of Huck. You know, yeah. SubhanAllah. So you don't know.
It's amazing how many people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to give you guidance. Isn't it amazing? Like well, like, I look back saying, like, there's so many people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent either to give me an example of how to do it and also send me other people where he goes to me, this is not the way to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's given me two different examples, and they're so distinct in these, like, my stories.
Yeah.
Like, you remember it so well, and you go, exactly, that's not how I'm going to be.
Yes.
I have his skill sets, I have his powers, but I'm not going to go down that road.
Absolutely.
No, subhanAllah.
Really true, really, really true, subhanAllah. I remember I was telling you about my decision to not have any more male friends, right?
Yes.
Back when I was at GE, I was close to Carl, he was the business analyst, and James, he was the sales leader. And subhanAllah, I remember just as I had left, you remember when I took that little time off for myself, I get a call from Carl. And he was like, Nina, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, okay. I was like, what's wrong? Like, what happened? And he goes, you haven't heard about James. I'm like, no, what happened? And he said, he killed his wife.
Wow.
He literally killed his wife. And I'm like, James, the funny guy, James. I'm like, wow. What do you mean? He used to send me photos of his little girl. He used to send me like family photos going, oh, my God, look at this, my family, my blessing. And subhanAllah, he was found out. He was found pacing in the front of his house. Yeah, it's all blood. He literally, like, he just stabbed her countless times. And this was the love of his life. That's what he used to say to me. I never met her. She actually used to work for IMG as well. And subhanAllah, the baby was just in the cot, like little toddler, like in the cot, not knowing what's going on, not knowing that the mum was just killed and the dad had just gone insane. And for me, that was like the biggest wake-up call. And I just went, no, Nina, you don't know the reality of people. This is Allah's boundaries, and you don't cross Allah's boundaries. Even though you think, you know, someone's innocent or someone's, no, that, you know, because they call me queen. I was treated like a queen. There was nothing seedy there. They were very respectful, right? Like, I wouldn't tolerate anything else. But that made me go, no, there's a big line. And even with Carl, I just went, haram, I just ghosted him completely after that. I was like, this is like a no-go zone, no friendship zone. Yeah, yeah. But there was also other signs. There were other signs. SubhanAllah, I remember when I would be sent, they would send me to the airport or whatnot. You know, they'd get hire cars. And there was a Lebanese guy that was the driver. It was a young guy. I'm a single girl. He's like asking me all these questions and that. And he was like, I'm married, but I'm separated, right? So I'm trying to tell me he's separated. I'm like, yeah, okay, it's all right. All good.
I see the signs.
Yeah. Takes me to the airport. Takes me to the airport. It's just like, you know, use me as a drive from now on, whatever. I was like, you know what? It's Lebanese Muslim. All right, you know, I'll use you. So when I'd come and I'd go, I'd use him. And then he calls me at Christmas time, and I'm in Melbourne. And I was just like, is everything okay? Like, what's going on? And he was like, oh, you know, it's just a relationship management thing, just calling you to wish you Merry Christmas. So I'm like, but I'm Muslim. You're Muslim. Like, why are you calling me, type of thing? Anyway, it turns out it's like, hey, you know, maybe we can go for a coffee, blah, 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 blah. It was just like, ended the call. SubhanAllah, the next time I fly in, I didn't call him.
You didn't use him.
I used someone else that was just there. You know how you got, you know, taxi waiting there? Muslim guy, turns out to be an uncle of someone that we know. He's like, who do you usually, like, where are you going? Where are you coming? And I told him, I said, oh, look, I usually use this guy. He comes or whatever. And then he was like, he just tells me he's married. You know, he's married. Like, full on telling me he's full on married. And this guy's like, just assuming I'm a kind of girl. And that in itself made me go, whoa. You know, like, it's a whole other world. SubhanAllah.
Deception. People put manipulation.
Absolutely. But not, and I went through a bit of a man-hater phase because I was just like, ill, like, you're disgusting type of thing, right?
All of us.
But not, no, really, really, at the time, it, no, not in a lesbianic type of way. No. But it's in, like, where are the decent guys? Because I haven't been coming across them, right? The decent ones I thought were decent was my Christian friend that would call me a queen, and the other Christian friend that killed his wife. And I'm like, no, subhanAllah, right?
So
these two things. What age was I at this time? I was 21, 22. Wow. About that
marriage age.
Right? And it was marriage. I was always open to meeting someone for marriage. But alhamdulillah, I always had my brothers like checking in, saying, are you talking to anyone, whatever. And I tell them, we had that relationship, which was great. But subhanAllah, I remember when I was in Melbourne, also this is the other thing, our community and the way that we think, you know, just because you're away from home, they think this girl's going to go off the rails, right? There was a security guard that worked in the Parramatta office. I didn't know it was him at the time, but back then he would be like, oh, I'm going to set you up with my brother, I'm going to set you up with my brother, this and that, whatever. I was like, yeah. When I'm in Melbourne, I get a message. It was the old phones back then.
Yeah.
I get a message saying, can't stop thinking about you. You're all that's on my mind, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, who is this? Wouldn't tell me. Who is this? If you don't tell me who it is, just, you know, that's it. I'm going to block you or whatever. He tells me it's him. And I'm like, this guy's married.
Wow.
I'm like, what are you doing? Like, and I told him, I said, if you send me one more message, I know your wife, I'm going straight to your wife. Disgusting. So at that stage, it was like, I was like, no, like I couldn't deal, subhanAllah. So I kind of just retreated. Yeah. Just retreated. It was all into my studies.
But there's a lot of those stories.
Yeah, there's
a lot.
A lot of sisters cop that.
It's horrible.
You know what I mean? The players that are constantly playing, subhanAllah. Yeah. And we have them a lot in our community.
Yeah.
We
have a lot, subhanAllah.
Some married.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're also seeing something else now in the community where the girls are actively chasing the married men, knowing that, hey, he can provide a lifestyle, he can provide, you know, a good life. And
that's
I can
true.
Weed her out. You know?
That's true.
And it's terrible. Like, you know, I'd be in Sydney with my husband. I'm with him and girls are looking at him and I'm like, hold on a second. Like, how is this acceptable? Remember how
he's very good looking, this day.
Ali, mashallah. He's gorgeous.
Can't even plug on the podcast.
He's like prime me.
and he's healthy. And he's a wrestler and he's tough. Don't worry, I love you, Ali. I got your back.
Mashallah, he's got amazing hands.
Allah protect him, yarab, and preserve us.
Amen.
It's interesting seeing how the tide's changing these days. And how the girls now are really pursuing, and they're not having, there isn't this haya.
Yeah.
You know, it's not there. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, what's going on? I remember back in the day, if someone would look at me in the, I'd be like, you know, you want the earth to swallow you. You have this haya, you know? I don't know what's going on.
It's changed.
May Allah guide us.
Amen. SubhanAllah. Take us through now. So now, how did you find Ali is the question.
Oh, how did I find Ali? You know what? Ali came straight to my door, man.
Serious?
Wallahi. And, you know, I had a strategy because we had, you know, let me get to this point first. I think this is a point I need to make.
I like the strategy. I need the strategy.
Yeah, you need the strategy.
The strategy is so good. Some of the sisters can use the strategy.
She learned that through sales working at GE.
I'm telling you, life lessons, man. Life lessons. My strategy was that, you know, I had a good circle of Muslim ladies that were religious. I'm like, now I'm on this path. Now I have my hijab and I'm on this path and I know what I want, right? My strategy wasn't like other friends to jump online and to filter through rubbish and get treated like God knows what. I'm like, we have this group of women and who sets up the decent men? It's the women. Generally, right? The couple, the aunt, the sister, the mom, they're the ones that really set them up. Because the decent guy isn't out there looking for himself. He's going to work, he's coming home, he's going to the gym, all that. So throughout all these ladies, they all knew, okay, like Nina's, you know, ready to get married. And I think in our group, I think there was only me and two other friends that were single. So I said, okay, we're going to arrange a halakha. And what we're going to do, like we had about, I don't know, 12 sisters. We said, you know, each month or every you know, fortnight, halakha is going to be at one other sister's house. But this sister is going to invite her group of friends. So we're always meeting new women.
Oh, wow.
Always, right? And this is exactly, wallahi, this is exactly how I met Aisha, who set me up with Ali.
SubhanAllah.
And he came, I didn't have to go anywhere. He came straight to my home. She sends me a message. She says, look, my husband's friend, she said he's originally from Melbourne. Because at this point I'm like, I'm in Sydney. I'm not going anywhere, right?
That was a tough sale.
She says,
listen
to the even the text message, subhanAllah, because I would have declined it if she said he lives in Melbourne. Because at the time,
She knew that Sydney was a big part.
She knew. But the way she worded it, she said he's originally from Melbourne and he's looking for a wife. This is about him. And subhanAllah, she goes, I've only thought of you. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, it sounds all right. It sounds decent. I said, he's more than welcome to come to my family, to my house and have a coffee. And so he comes and he's like, oh, I'm just here for the weekend. And I'm like, so what, you don't live in Sydney? It's like, no, he lives in Melbourne. So we had a good, nice chat. And I was like really relaxed after that because I was like, it's kind of Melbourne, right? He's a nice guy. We actually really got along. And he was very humble. He wasn't show pony Sydney, when you go to Sydney, everyone's got a story to tell.
My biceps and my car, my AMG.
It's like, Sydney, I love you, but, you know, it just is what it is, right? And I was just like, wow, like, you know, this guy is decent. So he leaves. He ends up messaging my brother-in-law and he's saying, you know, he wants to come back for a coffee. And then I said, yeah, it'll be nice. I said, but you know what? I'm like, is he Melbourne? I'm like, what is it going to do in Melbourne? Now, he's got a clinic. Like, it's not like he can pick up. Uproot and come to Sydney. And I've got a big family. I've got this massive network of you know, sisterhood now. I've got my studies. I've got everything. Everything's beautiful. And then he was just like, you know, he was my brother-in-law. Was just like, come on in. Just let him come. Just go with the flow. And I'm like, all right, let him come. So he came and then subhanAllah, everything was easy. It was all green lights. Everything was fine and dandy. Yeah, and that's how it happened. All of a sudden I'm in Melbourne. But you know what's interesting? Before I left Melbourne, I remember looking at, you know, when I was working at GE, I remember looking out at the city and admiring it and saying, Ya Rab, this is so beautiful, bring me back. Wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. And this is like, you know what? Allah had that in the plans. But it makes me reflect on how, you know, when you make a dua, that dua is inspired by Allah. You think it's coming from us, but it's inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he wants to give it to you.
Amen.
SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah.
So you left, you uprooted.
Uprooted, man.
And came here and set new roots.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah. When did the Muslim, was the Muslim mindset started before Ali?
No.
So it was after marriage?
Yeah, I always knew, like with my degree, I always knew, and I hadn't finished yet. I think I had two subjects to go. Got married. Did a subject, first year marriage, nice and crazy. We said, you know, I'm not going to work. I'm just going to be this housewife, you know. I'm going to just clean my house and cook. This is what I wanted. This is what I wanted, right? Working all those years, you know, in corporate, it's just like they'll suck your blood out if they can. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to enjoy this. So that's what I did. The first year, just studied a little bit. And then subhanAllah, after that.
Was it extremely difficult for the Muslim mindset as well starting? Because afterwards,
So it didn't start then. Our plan was that we'll take the first year off. We'll go to Hajj at the end of that year, and then the next year we'll start having our babies, right? Because by this time I'm like 30, he's like 33, and we're like, okay, we're gonna start having kids, right?
Mm.
Time's ticking. And so alhamdulillah, we had one after the other. We had three. Inshallah. I had three children in 3.5 years.
Boys, girls?
I had one boy and two girls. May Allah protect them.
Amen.
So now I'm drowning in motherhood. I haven't finished my degree yet. And I have a son that anywhere he turns, he'll projectile vomit. He had haram. He had a problem with his stomach digesting protein. So he had that protein intolerance and it was a bit of a process, but I felt like I was beaten into motherhood. That's what I felt. Wallahi. And it's life changing, right? Because you go all about you and now it's all about this child.
Inshallah, yeah.
And so I was training from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I remember my sheikh, one of the sheikhs back in Sydney, Sheikh Arif, he sends me a message. He says, Nina, you haven't finished your degree. Pull your socks up. Yalla, we need you. And I'm like, I'm covered in vomit. I'm like, what do you mean? You need me. But subhanAllah, at that point, I recognized my mindset was like, that degree was long gone. I was in survival. I was just in survival mode. And so moving on from there, I had a health scare after having my third, right? She hadn't even turned one yet. Just to give you some background story though, back just as I put on my hijab, I had a sister-in-law, my brother's wife. She was from Melbourne. She moved to Sydney. They had two children. Hamoudi was 2, Dalia was 8 months. She fell sick. And in a matter of 5 days, she passed away.
Allah.
She was only 32, right? Yeah. My last conversation with her, I wanted to put on the hijab. She wanted to put on the hijab. And she never got to.
Allah.
The next time I see her, I'm wearing my hijab and she's on her deathbed. Allahu Akbar.
Wow.
Allahu Akbar. Ali Irhameh. Beautiful, beautiful soul.
Inshallah, Allah accept the hijab. If the last words were that, may Allah accept the hijab.
Ameen. And you know, there were reasons why she wasn't putting it on at the time. I'm not going to mention, but I believe that is valid. But subhanAllah, so she ended up passing away from a liver condition. So now I've had my third child and my enzymes keep creeping up. And like, the doctor's going, I don't know, I'm just going to send you to a gastroenterologist. Go do these tests. And they're like, you have a large tumor in your liver. And in my head, I just flashbacks. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. That's what I was thinking, because that's the trauma of going through and seeing, you know, my sister-in-law go through that and how sudden it was, right?
Wow.
So in my head, I was just like, oh my God, what have I put forward? What have I put forward? Alhamdulillah, I did all the testing and that, and they were like, until now it's being monitored. And they say, look, you know, it looks like it's benign, and they think they know what it is. So far it's not really causing any problems. If it does, they go in, they rip it out. I'm like, okay. But subhanAllah, that was the catalyst for me to get some mentorship.
Mm.
Got 2 weeks of mentorship with Dalia Ayyub, which I love. Ali Yahmiya, she's beautiful. Yeah. And all I needed was a little bit of fine-tuning to get myself out of my way. And I went away, and I remember she made us do this activity, right? She put it forward to all the girls. All the girls didn't do it. I think it was only me and one other sister. She was really frustrated at the time. But alhamdulillah, she said, well, I want to put forward a community project. And so for me, it was raising money to build a masjid. I said, okay, I'm going to do it. Well, I don't know how it's going to pan out. I'm not very good at asking people for money, but, you know, okay, let's do this. So within 2 weeks, I had enough money to build a masjid in overseas.
Wow.
Yeah, 2 weeks. And I was just like, that's the power of intention and this is all I have. Essentially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he facilitates, right? So that for me was very powerful. And it reinforced that idea that, hey, you have your intention, you take that step forward, but the results are with Allah.
Amen.
And, you know, even if you don't get the desired result, it doesn't mean that you failed.
100%.
Let's look at it from the lens of the hereafter, right? That if I have a good intention, I've already won. So moving forward with the Muslim mindset, this was my mindset. You know, your mindset are beliefs that govern the way that you think, right? And so a lot of people ask me, how did you tackle people looking at you and people judging you and, oh my God, she's doing something different. And it's like, you know, everyone's now watching, go, oh my God, what is this girl doing? Like, this is different.
Do you recall that first time you went online?
They get on. No, I don't. I don't remember it.
You don't?
No,
wasn't
no.
It like that?
But I remember I remember sucking it up. I remember I had a first lecture at the Australian Islamic College. Australian Islamic Centre in Newport, Newport Mosque.
Newport Mosque, yeah.
And they full on went all out. They did full on lecture night. Mashallah, we had so many women, I think like 80 women. And I delivered that. I remember being so nervous and I just stepped out of my comfort zone. And the thing that made me go, don't worry about the eyes, was that where is your intention? If it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people, they don't matter, right? And that if your intention is right, you've already won. Amen. But not only that, Nina, when you're on your deathbed, are these people going to matter? And that's the biggest catalyst that made me move. Wallahi, it made me move.
I know. We've had the same conversation.
Really? Subhanallah. It's so powerful though.
It is.
If you sit and really reflect on yourself when you're just about to meet your creator, who are these people?
We've seen so many burials.
Yeah.
They just walk away. They come, some like Ahmed Raji said, some come because they are, you know, I had to be there. But yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
People, like we say, everyone's replaceable.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest fall to mankind is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's passing.
Alhamdulillah. And our dua is, oh Allah, Allah use us, but not replace us.
Yeah.
So, alhamdulillah, may Allah use us for khair and barakah and blessings. Because at the end of the day, when Allah's using you and you see the fruits, you don't have to see the fruits, but when you start seeing the fruits,
yeah,
it is so motivating.
It's very rewarding.
It is. It's subhanAllah. Then you go, oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Because you want to give up sometimes, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And it gets so tough that you go through these phases. I've been through those phases so many times where I'm like, Ali, I want to shut up. I'm not going to do this anymore. And subhanAllah, like I, in those moments, it would be the next day, the sister would message me and say, I put my hijab on because of your talk, or I run into another sister, say, your talk changed my life, and they full on flipped, and I'm like, it's here. This is gold. This is gold. Wallahi, it's gold.
But it's hard. It's
and
not
it's
easy.
Like Allah sends it. Yeah. It's so hard. It's so hard. And a lot of people don't get it. But think about it. Think about it. If you are in a position where you're changing so many people's lives, you are a target for Shaitan. May Allah protect us. You are a target. I mean, and that goes for both the human of them and the jinn.
But also, when you make mistakes as well, subhanAllah, like when you've made a mistake, the vultures come out. No, we're not perfect. We're humans. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, subhanAllah, I've got messages online saying, brother, you're supposed to pronounce A'udhu Billahi properly. You're not saying it properly. Like, you get all these little things. Yeah. I don't understand how much is happening and, what we're going
through. And you're doing your best.
And we're doing our best, subhanAllah. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know.
And we're just a couple of guys in Melbourne just, started, alhamdulillah, a year and a half ago. And alhamdulillah, it's gone, all around the world.
Yeah,
but
mashallah.
You cop these messages sometimes that are just absolutely like hard hitting. It's like
they are. But you know what? You know, I kind of like these messages as well. It's almost a little bit of a let me smack down that nafs of yours. Yeah. Let me just smack it. Because you know what? Honestly, wallahi, it will destroy us. Yeah. It will absolutely destroy us.
Of course, that nafs out of control.
And it's like we need it. And it's not only that. I believe it's Allah's way of going, hey, realign your intention. Come back. What's your intention again? Come back to the intention.
Alhamdulillah. One thing I've observed about you, mashallah, like even when you did the leadership retreat, mashallah, you speak your mind.
Yeah.
Has that got you in trouble, obviously? Because I noticed that you've been groomed by Lekemba, so I understand why now.
Mashallah, man, I want to protect them.
Sorry.
I'm still very, very cautious, and I can be very calculated with what I deliver when I deliver it, because some people aren't ready to receive a message, and sometimes it's just about planting that seed. Do you know what I mean? And I think we need to be a bit wise with the way that we kind of carry on ourselves and stuff. Yeah. I had one outburst once, and it had to do with the whole political thing with what, obviously is going on, overseas and stuff. Mm. And, it was literally I had an outburst and I said things, and I ended up really regretting it, even though the response was everyone was like, go you. And I was just like, but no, my character isn't in check here. So I got rid of it and I repented. Everyone's like, why did you get rid of it? I was just like, no, because character is everything. Amen. By the end of the day, subhanAllah, it's just like I'm going to be responsible for everything I say. One person can be thrown into Jahannam for what, like 70,000 years just for one word, or 70 years, for one bad word. It's just like, no, I don't want to be that. I want to be, and people refer to me as sweet and I start laughing at that. It's like, you don't know me.
I come from Auburn. But this is the reality. And I say rahmah is the key.
Yeah. Like,
Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Yeah.
If we can embody the Rahman and the Rahim, if we can embody that as humans, we attract so much.
It's hard. But it's hard. When emotions get in between.
When we see the wrong, and when you see the death and destruction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
How do you have rahmah? You know what I mean? And subhanAllah, like what's happening today. You know what I mean? Mm. How do we have rahmah around that? Yeah. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, showed us that. What did he do when they attacked him and they beat him and he bled? What did he do? He said, Ya Rab, may the children be of the Muslimin.
Yeah.
And imagine on that side of their children tomorrow being Muslimin.
Yeah, Allah,
what would happen to Islam?
Yeah.
Islam would flourish because they have infrastructure. They have so much that the deen needs. So you do not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan.
Absolutely.
So the rahmah is so powerful.
It's so powerful. And then there's our egos that is also can be very powerful. You really need it. Subhanallah. It's a real big skill to be able to control yourself, control your anger, and to do all that. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. It reminds me of a story of a sheikh in Syria. He opens the masjid every morning.
Mm.
And that particular morning, he was dressed ready for the Fajr prayer. And he walks in, and as he's putting the lights on and getting the masjid ready, he heard the door open. So he, Allahu Akbar, is doing his sunnah. And he was doing it perfect, like perfect bowing. And he's relating the story. And as he's about to say Salam alaikum, he's realized that it's a dog that's actually walked into the masjid.
Oh, wow.
He said, and then he says in his story, he says, I forgot Allah. I was trying to impress the club.
Wow.
He goes, I was impressing the club and I forgot the creator.
Wow.
And he goes.
Very powerful in Arabic when you say
that. because
a powerful word.
His whole straightening of the prayer and making it perfect was making sure the people wouldn't judge him.
Oh, and you know what? It's such a grave sin too. It's so scary.
You know what I mean? So we forget sometimes that. Sometimes we're impressing these people, like you said, that won't even be.
Absolutely.
It's happening online now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
SubhanAllah, you got to go, you know, check your intention.
Yep.
We're here for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's it.
There's no other reason. Yeah. Ya Rab, we're in your hands.
That's what I do. I made it a rule. I don't post anything unless I have that intention. I've got an intention. What's your intention? What's your reason for posting it? And if it's not good enough, I don't do it.
SubhanAllah.
So I'm like, it is what it is. Me and all of us.
Tell us about, like, undoubtedly, mashallah, like, you've had the growth and the, mashallah.
So how long has the Muslim mindset been?
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
And like it's growing. Which one's tougher, that or the motherhood?
Motherhood. Oh, my God. You know, I'm going to sound like one of these lab mums now, but my son is like come from the heavens. He's a golden boy. He's a golden boy. May Allah protect him. And my girls belong in Sydney. My girls are a little tough. But I'm like, you know what? You know, I'm not going to break that in them because they may need it for their time. I don't know what's coming for them.
I noticed that when you were presenting at the retreat, I was outside with Ali looking after the kids, and I noticed, mashallah, like you're tough girls, you know what I mean?
Tough girls, yeah.
You can see the lebo in them.
Yeah, totally. I credit my nieces because they pick fights with them and so that they can get it out of them, and now they're right to go. They're okay. I mean, but motherhood is something else. Motherhood is just, I think trying to find that balance of still maintaining how our parents raised us, but for their time, it's so difficult. We can't raise our kids the way we were raised, you know? And I think that's because a lot of things with us, it was all about fear. Do you know what I mean? Like growing up, like you didn't do this because you were scared.
Yes, it's so true.
And now it's like, what is it? So I constantly make it a habit to talk to my kids about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Yeah, you know, try wherever we can. I'm always talking, getting their thoughts and stuff like that. And alhamdulillah, so far so good.
For the ones that don't know you online, tell us about Muslim Mindset. What is it about? What's your vision?
Mashallah.
What's your goals?
So the Muslim Mindset was established to help women and youth predominantly to align to their deen and lead a life of ihsan, right? So I focus on beliefs, the Islamic beliefs in our theology. So I'm hoping that we can help nurture that so that it can then govern our thinking and the way that we approach this life, right? And I believe that the woman is the center of everything. If the woman gets it right Islamically, everyone around her will thrive.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So initially it started with doing some lectures. Alhamdulillah, I've done lectures across all Australia, alhamdulillah. I think bar Perth, but inshallah that'll be happening soon, inshallah. Do workshops, mentorship programs, and conferences. So I've established the Equilibrium Women's Wellness Conference, and that conference is all about the well-being of the woman from an Islamic lens, but it's a holistic well-being, right? So I get various speakers that are well-known in the community that come together and present on topics that are very relevant. Alhamdulillah. Last year I was in Melbourne and Sydney. This year we're going national. So it's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting.
When are we going international?
Allahu alam. Allahu alam. I don't even know if we'll get there. I don't really have an intention for that right now. I think because I don't want to overwhelm myself, but at the same time, I recognize my kids are still very little and they need their mum.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I remember came a time, I was running like a mad dog. I was invited here and there and everywhere, which is great, but Ali would keep saying to me, Nina, the kids. And then subhanAllah, I would always, when I check in on the kids and Allah would show me things, subhanAllah, I would say, it reinforces this hadith, the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever focuses on the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will place a contentment in his heart, he will rectify all of his affairs, and the dunya will inevitably come to him. Mm-hmm. I remember once Ali saying to me, Nina, the kids, because that was, it was one of those times. I remember I was putting my girls to sleep. I read a book. I was like, Mom, lay down with us. Fell asleep. And maybe about 10 minutes, and I woke up to my older daughter. She was, I think, maybe 6 at the time, to Aya, which is probably like 4 at the time. She was teaching her how to recite Surat An-Nas. And I was just like, that's Allah taking care of my affairs, right? Your affairs, subhanAllah. And I didn't neglect my kids, but it was always something like there going, hold on a second, you're growing this. The kids need attention. Because for Ali, it's all about, you know, it's obviously the kids as the primary.
On that, we were speaking to Mufti Minkia and Bilal Asad, and he gave him solid advice. He said, just sometimes you got to say no.
Yeah. Absolutely. I say no now, so don't you worry.
Bilal was having that conversation with him saying no. Because we're having that conversation like, you know, you get pulled left, right and centre, Mufti. Yeah. Like, and he was just here for half an hour and maybe I think 10 people wanted to take photos with him.
Yeah.
Oh, mashallah.
You know what I'm trying to say? It's like, and I'm like, how can you live like this, you know? Yeah. And Mufti Minkia is like, you just live my life for a month. You hate your life.
Yeah. He goes, come travel with me for a month. And he goes, you would hate your life.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen me.
Mashallah. I know we were going to have you on a podcast not long ago, but again, we had a bit of a health scare.
Yes. So that was very interesting, that one. I was investigating something. I thought something wasn't right. I was having a little bit of niggling pain somewhere. And I just thought, just go to the doctor. You know, he was running like a mad dog, being a mum, working, doing everything. Went to the doctor, had two doctors assess me, and they said, well, we don't think this is anything, but here, take this ultrasound and go get a scan. So I was like, all right. Got home. I was like, doctors didn't say anything. Lost the scan. I was just like, yeah, like, carry on, right? 2 weeks later.
The liber way.
Absolutely. And it's very easy to do
health
that as a mum.
Least of our problems.
But it's a panel. As a mum, it's so easy to do that. I ended up, it was one morning after Fajr, I prayed my Fajr, I just jumped back into bed. I was exhausted. And then I wake up to something in my ear saying, you have cancer. And I leapt out of my bed. I was up and out. And I was freaked out. My heart was pounding. I was just like, this, what was that? There's someone in my room. There's someone in my bed. Like, actually felt like it was so real.
Wow.
In my ear, like it could feel your vibration. Like you could, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I remember reciting. I was like, ya Allah, what was that? And I was freaked out so, so bad. And then, subhanAllah, I thought to myself, you know what, Nina, just go back and go and do an ultrasound. And what if this is something, right? So I ended up going back to the doctor that day. I got an ultrasound, booked in ultrasound next day or the day after. The next morning I get 3 missed calls. I was at my mother-in-law's house. I went after the kid drop-off to have a coffee. Making my coffee, I look at my phone, 3 missed calls from the clinic, doctor's clinic. And I'm like, oh, no, that's not good. Call back and she's like, doctor wants to see you. Can you come in today? This and that, whatever, about your results. I was like, okay. Get off the phone, I start crying. I'm like, oh, my God, this is something. I was like, subhanAllah, my sister-in-law's going to be, no, don't think like that, you know, inshallah, it's nothing. Went to the doctor. He goes to me, look, these results, he goes, they indicate something's up. He goes, it doesn't look super urgent. He goes, nothing we can leave, and I'm going to send you to the cancer clinic. He goes, because they go from 0 to 100, they look at everything. I'm like, beautiful, send me. I went, got assessed. She said, look, 10% of these things end up being something. She goes, I don't think it is. She goes, but let's go, we'll do a biopsy. And we'll go from there. I come back and she's like, I'm so glad you investigated it. She goes, because it is something. And it was cancer. Wow. SubhanAllah. So that dream was real. I was just really shaken even till now. Like I feel like I can't digest that. SubhanAllah.
Somebody wanted you to
get
off your bum and go get that scan.
SubhanAllah, that's right, huh? I had two sheikhs spoke to me about it. MashaAllah, Abu Bakr Zaud, may Allah be pleased with him. He reached out and he said, look, I've heard that, you know, you've got a cancer scare in that, and, you know, made beautiful dua. And I said, I can't seem to process how I found out though. I'm like, this is a dream, or like this is what happened and this is how I found out. And he said to me, this is your ease in your hardship. He He goes, this is what it is. Allah's put ease in your hardship.
Amen.
And I remember, subhanAllah, you know, that Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, he said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he assigns you a purpose, he prepares you for it.
Amen.
So if I was to rewind that previous year and a half, 2 years, I was running around Melbourne giving talks on patience and perseverance through the Islamic lens. What does a calamity mean in this life for your next, right? And I remember when she gave me the news, I was like, she tipped hot water on me. And then it's just like that realization, I was like, oh my God, like what does this mean? Like, does this mean I'm going to go soon? Does this mean, because we didn't really have much information. And subhanAllah, I remember thinking, and feeling very special though, even though I was so scared, because I was like, Allah gave me this. Wallahi, yeah. I actually felt very special. It was frightening, very, very frightening, subhanAllah. But alhamdulillah, look, I didn't go down the road of traditional Western medicine. I did get the cancer out, alhamdulillah, after 3 surgeries that were successful. But you know what's really beautiful? You know our community? I had so many people reach out, so many people making dua. And so one dua they would send me is they would say, I wish Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes this disease from you, so much so that there are no signs of it, right?
No.
And wallahi, I see the specialist. Now I'm seeing another specialist. We just keep an eye on things, right?
Yeah.
And they say to me, we didn't even know where it is. And I'm like, that's the dua. This is community. This is our community.
Amen.
Wallahi, I didn't make that dua for myself. I didn't make that dua for myself. People have made that dua for me. And it's just like, you know, initially when I had found out, I thought I'm going to slip under the radar and I'm not telling anyone. I'm just going to go, khalas, just let me deal with this. So I'm a private person. I don't like to talk too much about my personal life and stuff. But subhanAllah, I ended up that morning before my first surgery, I had one of my friends, she reached out with a really beautiful dua. She said, you know, it's Jum'ah today, I'm making dua for you and that. And I was just like, man, I'm crazy if I don't jump on this and let everyone make dua for me today.
Exactly.
I was just like, you know, and I did. And alhamdulillah, I did, because our community is really, really beautiful. I had people dropping stuff off at my house, I had people making donations in my name. So mashallah, you did. May Allah bless you. alhamdulillah. Like was, it was really beautiful, really, Allah, really nice.
Very sick. Because you know how much I love Ali.
Yeah, he's beautiful.
And you know, and I knew what he was going through, so I thought I have to do that. So alhamdulillah.
That
was
very scary.
And their dua would have been extremely powerful. And
absolutely.
I did that for my sister as well. Like we just found out not long ago that my older sister, who I'm taking to chemo now after this podcast, alhamdulillah, she's got stage 4 cancer.
Subhanallah.
It's quite serious, subhanAllah. But subhanAllah, the dua of people, you know, same thing I did as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Subhanallah, we ask all our brothers and sisters, inshallah, to make dua for her, for her healing, inshallah.
And,
subhanAllah, you don't know when. And she only found out purely by having a car accident.
Yeah.
Really?
She has got no symptoms in any way. So subhanAllah, she had a car accident, the car rolled, so they did a scan on her.
Wow.
Because of the car.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And subhanAllah.
The MRI scan.
And then
a full body scan because they're making sure she's okay. And then
it was stage 4.
Yeah. Stage 4.
No symptoms at all.
To this minute, to this, like in the past, we've known now for 2 months, I think. It's been 2 months that we found out, or more. And she hasn't got a single symptom.
Allahu Akbar. Allah,
yeah,
you know, we've heard of miracle stories.
Yeah,
there's a lady in our community. Wallahi, she actually she was one of the speakers at one of my conferences in the previous years. She shared her story, which was incredible. She was diagnosed, I don't know which cancer it was exactly, but she was diagnosed stage 4, and they said they literally gave her months.
Yeah.
She ended up doing a clinical trial, and she was making dua, and she believes that's the thing that literally cured her. The doctor said, scientifically, he said, we have no answers for this. We don't know how you're cured, but it's gone, right? And now she's moved on. She's had a baby. She's, subhanAllah.
Wallahi, we always say, subhanAllah, we've seen miracles, wallahi. Yeah. Like I've seen miracles with so many brothers and sisters that, subhanAllah, that, you know, close, that, you know, subhanAllah, that cancer has left them.
Yeah.
You know, like I know brothers that have given that much sadaqah.
Yeah.
They left nothing for their family.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Wow.
And the family's going, are you crazy? And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heals through sadaqah.
Oh,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your sadaqah heals you. And he goes, if Allah heals me for it, this is worthless to me.
Yeah, Allah. It would be worthless to me. Wallahi.
But how many are willing to sacrifice? Yeah. How many of us are willing to sacrifice?
Yeah.
You know, we're holding on to this dunya.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You almost feel like you're obliged to leave something for your children.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but my children. Yeah. It comes back to
that's what the mother said. He goes, what about us? What are you going to leave us? He goes, I've left you Allah. Mm. He goes, isn't this sadaqah going to help you?
Wow. That's strong iman, man. That's amazing.
And he's still around.
Still around. Yeah, Allah preserve him. Subhanallah. There you go.
It's amazing. Wallahi, we never know. We never know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can heal us. Because he's the healer. He's the healer. The shifa comes from him, nobody else.
Absolutely.
And may Allah heal and have shifa on all our brothers and sisters that are currently sick and unwell. Please, brothers, make dua, inshallah, for all our brothers and sisters who are currently unwell and need your dua. Wallahi, they need your dua because the dua, you know, as we say, ascends to the heavens, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it fights
the qadr.
So it's in your hands, you know. Alhamdulillah, we have so many brothers and sisters around the world, inshallah, that can make dua. May Allah bless you, subhanallah.
Ameen, ya Rabbi,
subhanallah.
Touching on some dark moments, what would you say would be the toughest moment, darkest moment in your life?
I look back at when my father passed away, and I remember because I didn't really have a lot of Islamic knowledge then, if any. I was 18, but I remember sitting. It was the night that he had passed away. I remember sitting outside. Me and my friend, we were like on the side of the street. I just needed to get away from that full house, right? And subhanAllah, I remember thinking to myself, my dua is not going to be accepted for my dad because I don't pray. Mm. And that was one thing that was reoccurring. And I was just like, that drowned me. That drowned me. I was just like, that was a really, really hard time. Even though now I look at the reality, I'm like, no, inshallah, like the dua was obviously answered. But that was a really, really hard time. When my mother passed away, which was only, I think, 2 years ago now, almost 2 years ago. I mean, I was a lot more prepared for it.
Yeah.
So I had been preparing myself actually since I moved to Melbourne, going, she's an older lady, you know, it's going to happen one day. And subhanAllah, I was a lot more prepared for it. But the signs that you see sometimes are really beautiful.
It is.
Like I remember, because I, alhamdulillah, had the opportunity to wash and shroud her.
Mashallah.
And I remember how, you know, she's just all dressed up, ready to go to the barzakh and reunite. Like I was just, that's what was in my head, you know. And, you know, what was really interesting was that when she passed away in the evening. And when we had seen her, no one was there when she passed. When we had seen her, she looked like she had been dead for a while. That's how she looked, like haram. She had been through a lot. She was in ICU. And then the next day, coming to the maghsal, she looks like she's 20 years younger.
Allah.
And we're looking at her. I'm like, what happened? She was fresh. She looked like someone had given her a facial. Wallahi. And even the ladies that were there were like, you know, she's got nur on her face. Like you can see it. You can see the crack of the smile. And it's just like, subhanAllah. Like, you know, my mother wasn't a perfect woman. But she had iman. She would do little gestures, I think, that really like were big with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She's very big on feeding the birds. And you know what was really interesting? That last time we had visited the grave, there were all birds on her grave. Subhanallah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I got a question for you. If your dad was here now, what would you say to him? What would you say to him that you didn't get a chance to say him? What would you share with him now?
Oh, making me emotional now. what would I say to dad?
Half your brothers do that.
What would I say to my dad? I don't know, actually. I'd probably just ask him to forgive me for driving him insane those last few years. I think that would probably be it, really. Yeah, I think I harbored a lot of guilt for that, you know. You don't know. You're a kid.
You're a kid
just trying to navigate
18,
life.
You know what I mean? Lost him when you were 18.
That's it. Yeah.
I mean, like I lost my dad when, you know, I was a lot older in my 30s, subhanAllah, and that was sort of very hard hitting myself, but, you know.
It is at any age. Yeah. I don't think you ever really prepared for it, right? Grief is grief, subhanAllah. Ali Irhamon, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannat al-Firdaws. And inshallah, what we put forward, you know, is just all barzakh gifts for them. You don't know, you know.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you for sharing your story, mashallah. It's an amazing story. we'd like to end always the podcast on an I am statement.
Yeah.
I'll let you think about that I am statement and I'll ask our guests to please subscribe or follow us, inshallah, while she's thinking about the I am statement. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our audience, and we remind you to subscribe so you don't miss out on the podcast. Please comment so we can improve. Also, if you have any questions for our sister, please don't hesitate to ask. Share with others who will benefit. And please, please give us a rating on our audio platforms. So on that note, I am.
I am an imperfect servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is trying.
Alhamdulillah.
That's it. Yes.
May Allah keep you steadfast.
I mean, yes,
keep you trying.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly not easy in our community. Alhamdulillah. Look, we get lots of love. We can't, you know, we can't deny that. Wallahi.
Alhamdulillah.
We've got a lot of support.
Part of the basketball game.
Yeah. No, I'm actually really appreciative of our community and Islamic organizations as well. They've really supported me and my initiatives, and I'm so grateful for that. You know, alhamdulillah. So,
JazakAllah khair for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And inshallah, we'll maybe have you on again to have some topics, because mashallah, you know, you have so many amazing topics that you've spoken of online.
Yeah.
So inshallah, we can share with our audience. JazakAllah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.